Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can, in turn, inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you once again from the Upward Sports Studio. You know, some people's journey to a marathon is tougher than others. We're going to share a story today of someone who has had many obstacles in her way, and yet she still persisted. And then I'm going to share an idea about our plans and how sometimes things go as planned, but we often must be ready to change those plans. And joining me once again for the first great podcast of this year is Upward Running Director Mitchell Hollis.
Thanks for having me, Dean. Well, how did you fare in the snowmageddon?
It was good. We had fun. We've still got a big snowman in our front yard. Yeah. So, we were just talking about that, how it's been a week.
And there's still snow on the ground. You just don't see that around here. No. And we got more coming next week, it looks like.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it should be. Well, you know, Debbie said when we had it, 3 days on Sunday, she said, you know what the wives' tale is. The snow lays for 3 days, you're getting more.
Well, the blizzard of 93. People don't remember. We had like a 6 or 8 inch snow 1 week before the blizzard of 93. Everybody forgets about that part. But yeah. 7 days later, snow was still on the ground, and we had the blizzard of 93.
And that was an ordeal.
Yeah, I think it would be fun to have another one.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you're
so
ready,
Dean. I think I need a tune up.
Yeah,
I'm just falling apart. You know,
I hate to tell you, it's not as bad as it's going to get.
You know, here a while back, I had to start wearing these things.
Yeah,
reading glasses. I've got this knee thing going on, you know, that I've been dealing with for several years. Anytime I get any mileage at all, I start having some issues with it. So I've tried rucking, you know, carrying the backpack and walking and seeing if that will strengthen it. But I got a new one.
Uh-oh.
I don't even know if I've told you about this. So I started having this pain in my arm. And I got a buddy that's a physical therapist down with AOSM. And I was talking to him the other day. I said, man, I got this thing going on my arm right here. Like when I go to pick something up, like get my coffee out of the cup holder, door handles, It's just this weird thing going on. He said, you got a tennis elbow.
Yep.
I said, I don't play tennis.
Yeah.
He said, you're doing something. He said, what have you started doing recently that you haven't been doing? I said, I've started playing golf. He said, how much are you playing? I said, I've been hitting every day. He said, what if somebody come up and said they've started running every day? What would you say to them?
Yeah.
He said, that's where runner's knee comes from. I was like, well, you make a good point. So tennis elbow, and I don't even play tennis. So, but you know, I pulled this up this morning. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we all know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, we will have a house in heaven and an eternal body made for us by God Himself.
Amen.
So we're going to get a new one of these.
You can play golf every day.
But I need a tune-up, I think. I don't know if they have those.
Yeah. Have you gotten one of those tennis elbow straps?
No, he talked about that, and I just...
Oh, man, those things are like miracles.
Really?
Yes.
Does it go above, or it goes right on
it goes on your forearm.
Because the pain is like right there.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You'll be amazed. I've had tennis elbow.
Yeah.
And I used one of those.
So what did you get yours from?
Walmart or drugstore.
No, I mean, how did you get tennis elbow?
Oh, digging a trench by hand. Yeah. Using a pick.
See, Holly thinks that we spread some mulch here a while back, and the boys were helping. And, you know, Dad, I'm going to be like, you're not outworking me.
Yeah.
So I was using a shovel, and I think I heard it then. And now with hitting some golf balls every day,
You've aggravated that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I know those things work. I know you can use them for your leg when you have knee issues. I'm not quite ready to be the guy that has like a knee brace and then an arm
thing. Well, you don't need it all the time, but it'll get you through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
just dealing with it right now.
Yeah.
Which is probably not the smart thing to do. I know.
Oh.
You know, he told me to ice it. I haven't done that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's almost Couch to Marathon Day for those folks who did the Couch to Marathon last week.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that down in St. Petersburg.
You're going to go hang out with all of them.
I'm going to hang out with them and have fun with it. I'm not running it, so I'm running this Backyard Ultra coming up this weekend. It'll be done by the time this comes out, and I don't know how I'm going to feel after that. I could be completely trashed, or I could feel fine.
You might need a knee brace after that.
I might need a whole body brace.
But well, good luck on that.
Looking forward to that.
I plan to come up there and hang out with you for a little while.
That would be welcomed for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to come closer to the end, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When all those demons are running around in your head, I tend to like to kick demons around. So
I could see you showing up at midnight going, all right, time to get up and
come
go.
Come on, you pansy.
You know what gets me
going.
It's
all in love, though.
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely. 100%. Our post of the week comes from Jim Stimson. He said, today's run was another windy day with 25-mile-per-hour winds and gusts to 36 miles per hour, but the temperature was 60 degrees. Garmin said my run was unproductive. I say any run is a productive run. I got out the front door. I'm thankful for the wind. Never know what race day will be like. Of course, everybody knows Jim. Jim, from Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Yeah, 60 degrees. Man, wouldn't that be nice right now?
I know, 60 degrees. Of course, we don't want his summer temperatures.
That's true.
Where it's 115 daily.
But it's a dry heat. Everybody says that. It's a dry heat. Yeah, it's still 115 degrees.
You know what I always say when somebody says it's a dry heat? I say, yeah, you like an oven.
Yeah.
An oven is a dry heat. The whole unproductive run thing cracks me up when I see that on my watch. I can be feeling terrible and it'll say unproductive. I'm like, I wasn't unproductive.
Or you just get done with a run and I come back in here and I sit down at my desk and my watch says move.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
That one too. Yeah. 25 to 36 mile per hour winds are not a lot of fun to run in. But of course, wintertime seems to be when we get a lot more wind. Maybe it's because there's less leaves on the trees. I'm not sure why God provided the wind. Helps things dry out, I guess, in the wintertime. But this is why windbreakers, I'm going to tell you what, I wear a windbreaker almost every day I go run during the wintertime because it keeps that wind off of you. I can wear just a t-shirt and a windbreaker and it's 30 degrees out and feel comfortable because all you got to do is if you can keep the air from getting to your skin, man, it makes all the difference. The best part I like about this post, though, is how he finishes it. When he talks about, I'm thankful for the wind because you never know what it's going to be like on race day. And isn't this a great picture of James?
Yeah.
Count it all joy?
Yeah.
Because he's looking at it and going, I don't like running in the wind, but I know it's good for me. And so I'm gonna like it because of that. Because
you're going to, James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Right.
That's exactly.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
And so, having those times where you can control it in a little bit or it doesn't really count, but you can kind of get used to it and learn. We used to always say it with the kids, when it would rain and we'd be out riding or running in the rain and, they'd be complaining and we're like, hey. And then when we would show up to races when it was actually raining, our kids stood out because we tried to explain that to them. Look at it as a competitive advantages, I think, is what you used to say.
Yep, that's what
when it's raining on race day, that's a competitive advantage.
Yep.
If you've prepared for it.
Yeah, yeah. This happened to me recently, too.
Yeah.
Where, because there's not a lot of mental stuff that gets to me if it's cold, whatever, weather doesn't really bother me. But, recently I had to run on the treadmill a few times. And I do not like running on the, I'll face anything rather than the treadmill. But it was a good opportunity for me to kind of work on my mental game. I don't like treadmill, but let's embrace it.
And so what do you do on the treadmill? Do you listen to something? Do you watch something? Or do you just sit there in dead silence?
I watch some episodes of Breaking Bad. Have you ever seen that? It's not a biblical show
by Holly and I started
long stretch.
It,
but
I didn't make
it.
I don't even think we made it through the first episode.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might need to take that one to the altar, Dean. I don't know.
So whatever you've got out there, whatever your mental hurdles are, go out there and look for them.
Challenge them.
And look them face to face and go
sure.
after it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our run of the week comes from Keith Sykes. He says, it has been a week of crazy changes and great weather challenges. Something has finally shifted in my running again, and I am back to running for God most everywhere I go. This week, I ran over the pedestrian bridge in Omaha on the walkway at Revere Beach and, of course, Scranton, South Carolina, which I call home. This week has reminded me how this heat-loving Southern boy loves to run in the cold. It has also reminded me of how blessed I am to still be able to run regularly at this point in my life. Headed back out tomorrow? Join me.
Keith has such a cool job.
Yeah, he does.
When you start thinking about running or getting out in nature, he can have all the seasons all year long, really,
yeah,
if you think about
it. Yeah, yeah. If you don't know, Keith is a pilot.
Yeah.
He's our resident pilot for Run Club. So, yeah, I imagine that's what he's doing is mm-hmm. he's going for a run wherever he has to have an overnight,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. That's one of the things that I love about traveling. Yeah. Anytime we travel is I just love the idea of getting out to run wherever I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. But don't you love it when you have those runs where something positive just hits you, just dawns on you, boom, all of a sudden you realize, wow, I've been struggling to run, and now today it feels great.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great revelations
yeah.
when those come, when you just all of a sudden feel better. Trivia question from last week. If you took a look at all 5K runners, what is the average finish time? Now, there has been no real good comprehensive study to prove this is what the average 5K finish time is, because, of course, it depends on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the time of year. It depends on it depends on all sorts of different things.
You would
things,
think but. Garmin or Strava would have this, though, because you mark it as a race when you put it in your Garmin. So you think they could just pull all of those and aggregate them and say, this is the average in our system.
Strava does it.
Oh, they do?
They
okay.
do. They
okay.
do. But we've talked before about how the average Strava user is probably
That's
a lot
true.
Faster
That's
than
true.
Than the average person who runs
yeah,
the 5K. Right?
That's true.
But the reason why I want to ask this question, because I think the average 5K times are slower than what people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear people all the time that runs a 35-minute 5K, and that's about as fast as they can run. And they're like, I can't believe I'm so slow. Well, what I want you to know is 35 minutes is it's average.
Yeah.
It's depending on your age, it could be above average.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this chart that I found. These are some numbers by age group. This is an interesting chart, too, because it shows where under the age of 15, the average men's time is 34:43 and average women's time is 37:55. Then you go to 16 to 19. The women's time doesn't change much. It goes to 37:39, so it changes 20-something seconds, or not even 20-something seconds. The men's time changes by 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In that time period. Don't you think that's an interesting thought? Anyway, when you go through and you look at all of these times, you realize men's times are somewhere in that 35-minute range. Women's times are somewhere in that 40-minute range. When you take all the different age groups together, 40 to 44, let's just take that one because that's a popular age group for people to be running. For men, it's 32:26. For women, it's 38:26. So, again, average 5K time, 35 to 40 minutes. If you're running, here's what you have to realize. When I go run a 5K, I'm going to run it under 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of people like me who are going out there, and they're bringing that average way down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people on the other side of 40 minutes.
Sure.
So if you're running 48 minutes, and that's the best you can do, don't feel like you're way off of everybody else.
Yeah, because it's all perspective. You know, you always hear people talk about, you know, if you make, I don't even remember the number, if you make $8,000 a year, you're in the top 1% worldwide.
Yeah.
Put this in perspective of, let's group all the people that never get off the couch in here.
That's right.
Then you're smoking fast.
That's
it's
right.
all about your perspective. So quit. And I get it. You know, I used to compare myself to you. And then several years back, I thought, you know, he's just crazy. I'm not going to do that anymore. So be comfortable and compare yourself to your last time or to your goal, not even to your last time, because that's a futile fight. You know, as we get, you're kind of in that now. If you try to compare yourself to when you were 20 years old, you're going to be miserable all the time.
That's right.
But you're comparing yourself to your goals today. And that's what's important.
That's right. Yeah. So whatever whatever pace you run, it's fine. It's good to push yourself. It's good to be as fast as you can be.
Yeah.
But don't worry about where you are in comparison to others.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
All right, so we're back. So let's talk about the app for just a minute.
Okay.
This hopefully by the time this airs, the app is actually out. But as of today, January the 16th, the approval process from Apple and Google has taken way longer than anybody thought. Yeah. And so as of today, the app is still not out. So there are so many things that we've pushed the pause button on now because everything ties into the app, including the church model, the classes in the churches. So hopefully by the time this releases, it is out. Rest assured, I even put a video out a week or two ago saying, hey, we've done all we can do. The developers on this project have been incredible. Yeah. And this app is incredible. But we've got to get, I mean, actually, as of today, we have Apple approval, but we still haven't gotten Google approval. And we can't roll them out until we put both of them out. So thanks for being patient with us. This is completely out of our control. If you've ever dealt with, try getting an Apple on the phone.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Nope.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but it'll get done. It'll get done in God's time. There's a reason it's not done yet.
That's right.
I don't know what that is, but we're all just sitting on pins and needles, just like, you know, ready to go. And we've got so many things that we want to push out along with it and marketing and all kind of stuff. But as of today, January 16th, we are still waiting on Google. So if you want to pray about this and it's not out when this releases, pray for all the Google people that they will get on and get this thing approved.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like Christmas, like we're waiting to unwrap a gift that we know we're going to get, but we can't unwrap it yet.
Right. Yeah. And it's
we don't know when Christmas Day is going
to
be here.
And you and I have actually seen it, but we just want everybody else to see
That's
it.
Right.
So I just wanted to give an update on that. If hopefully by the time this comes out, it's out and we're running with it. But as of today, it's not.
Well, I know that we're past New Year's resolutions at this point, but I found these suggestions. This on a site called The Running Channel has some interesting stuff on it. And I think these were worth just sharing because people wonder, okay, what kind of resolutions can I make from a running standpoint? What kind of goals can I have for the year? And these were some good suggestions, and so I thought I would share them. Run with other people more often or encourage friends who maybe aren't yet runners to join you. Maybe start a lunchtime run club at work. I thought that was a good one. Sign up to run more local races. Focus on your mental health and how running can help with that. You know, find time to run in nature, take the pressure off by running for fun and not for fast times. Slow down, because we know that running slow helps us to run faster. That's a really good goal for a lot of people who have a hard time with that. Run strides more often, because strides and hill sprints are really easy to do. They don't take up much time, but they can really help you improve if that's what you're looking for. Focus on weaknesses, things that can help you, like getting in the gym, working on mobility, making time for warm up and cool down, getting better at fueling, focusing on sleep and recovery. Any or all of those things might be good, especially if you're weak in one of those areas. Be more consistent with running. You know, try to be more consistent from week to week. And then listen to your body more. So rest if you're tired. Take a day off if that niggle flares up. Walk instead of run if that feels better for you one day.
All really good things.
Yeah, I thought those were good ones.
Yeah. So. The mental health one, you know, we've talked about this. Mental health is such a big topic nowadays. And there's a, you know, there's a lot of layers to that onion. But getting out for a run or a walk outside, I don't think there's a pill out there that can beat that.
I agree with you totally.
Finding the time to do that, if you can make that a priority. I'm no physician. I'm no, what's the purpose? The people you talk to on the couch. I'm trying to
psychiatrist.
Yeah, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I know it works because I know I can be tied up in knots at the end of the day, just mad at everybody in my house. Go out for 3 miles, come back. Now, my wife's like, where'd that other guy go?
Yeah.
I'm glad he's gone, but where'd he go?
I'm right there with you for sure. Well, we have an incredible story this week. Do you have a lot to overcome to get to the starting line of your next race? Well, listen to what Elizabeth Rogers has been through. She writes this story called Journey to a Marathon. I'm a single mom with 3 boys that I raised with the help from lots of people. Now my kids are grown up and married. I was married for 10 years, but divorced in 1993. When I started the Couch to Marathon program, I weighed 285 pounds. It started off well when I won the $500 drawing from the Couch to Marathon opening session, but it has been a long journey. Since that beginning, I have had bariatric surgery on July 3rd, 2024. Then I began my journey of losing weight and walking for the first 5 miles. My knees had always been bad, but at this time, they were doing well. However, I just couldn't run. But I was able to do 5 miles of race walking at a local park. Then I started working on getting to 10 miles, still losing weight, watching what I ate. I went from clear liquids back to just vegetables and protein. At this point, I am mostly walking for all of my races. Once I made it to 10 miles, I started having trouble with my ankle, so I still had to do 10 miles of race walking. I didn't give up. I still keep going. Then, I started the half marathon program. I tried to start running 2 miles in, but I started having problems with my left knee through the workouts. So, the doctor told me it was better if I walked instead of running. I did the half marathon in a couple of days because I couldn't bear the pain, but I did it. Now, I weigh 185 pounds and in the second week of marathon training. The doctor has prescribed plasma shots in both knees every month for the next 8 months. I am walking and I am still going. I hope to finish the Couch to Marathon race in February of 2025.
Dean, this is just a perfect example of consistency being key.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that would say, in order to do this, in order to lose 100 pounds, like she's done, that everything's got to go perfect.
Yep.
It doesn't.
And it hasn't. Yeah.
She was consistent, though.
Yep.
Consistent in not hitting the workouts perfectly. She was consistent in getting out the door.
Yep.
And doing something, which... we know that is the big secret. The big secret is not the perfect training plan. The secret is not the perfect workouts. The secret is consistency.
Yeah.
Just get out the door and get something done. Now, you need to follow a plan. But if you miss one workout or you don't hit that workout, that throws so many people off. Completely off the training plan. They're like, well, I blew it.
Yeah.
It's not true. And she has proof of that.
Yeah. And she didn't just say, okay, everything, something hurts, so I'm just going to stop and not do anything.
Right.
That's
she modified.
That's the key. But I can't, you know, the thing that sticks in my mind on this is I can't imagine how different your life is losing 100 pounds. Everything you do, walking up steps, just sitting in a chair is bigger all of a sudden.
Sure.
I mean, I can't imagine the difference in how somebody feels from 100 pounds.
It's crazy because I kind of can relate to this right now because I've been doing these rucking,
yeah,
as they call it.
Yeah.
And I'm just got a 25-pound back, you know, backpack on right now.
Imagine four of those.
Yeah, and just with 25 pounds, when I get done, say with 3 miles or something, and I go take that thing off, I feel like I'm going to float up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And so just kudos to Elizabeth.
For sure.
Number one, for just having the courage to start.
Yep.
Because I know that had to be daunting. I'm so glad she's the one that won that $500. You know, we usually don't hear back from these.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that, because I remember giving that away.
Yeah.
So I'm glad she's the one that won it. And just the tenacity and the drive to stick with it. Because that's the hardest part.
That's right.
It's just getting up every day. And because I know it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
And so kudos to Elizabeth. I hope you're going to see her down in. She didn't say if she was doing that race or not, but
that's
cool. I do have a question, if Elizabeth can maybe shoot us a message. She said, I went from clear liquids back to vegetables and protein. How long was she on clear liquids?
I don't know.
That's pretty hardcore stuff right there.
So. Well, and I wonder if that had something to do with the surgery maybe. What, while she had the surgery, or I'm not sure.
Maybe it was a fast, but I'm curious how long that process was, because it doesn't say, but I would love to know how long that process was, because, you know, clear liquids and doing, it's like she said in the same sentence, she was getting to 10 miles. 10 miles on clear liquids, that's pretty hardcore.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, Elizabeth, no matter where you go from here, you've already won.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Here's a that she puts in, instead of scripture, she puts in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Man, I need this prayer a lot.
You know, we've probably all heard this. It's not a Bible verse. It's not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly it is motivated
by
folks, Christian people.
It's a great prayer.
It is. And it shows up, this is from my research, this is what I found, is that it shows up at the YWCA in the 1930s, that a guy by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr in 1932 started using it with the YWCA programs that they had back in the 30s. Hmm. And then in the 40s, Alcoholics Anonymous.
That's actually where I know it from.
Yes. Yeah. And they're the ones that put it in its current form.
Sure.
It was in a little bit different form when it was at the YWCA. That Alcoholics Anonymous are the ones that put it in its current form, apparently. And it's part of their 12-step program. And this is exactly what we should be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I made up this one. So I never thought about how this relates to injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this. Okay, I'm going to reword it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the injury I wish I didn't have, the courage to do the rehab work I need to get better, and the wisdom to know just when to push and when to rest.
That last one's a doozy.
Yeah, it really is. That's really the bottom line and that's where she here, because I hear people all the time. If I've got something that doesn't feel just right, I hear a lot of people give me this advice. They'll say, listen to your body, meaning stop doing what you're doing. And that's not always the best thing. And I have seen it as a coach. I've seen a number of times where maybe two people going down the same road with the same injury, one rests and does nothing, the other keeps running, and the one that keeps running gets better faster. I've seen it over and over again. And I'm not saying you should do that. Mm-mm. Please don't hear me say that. But I'm saying don't automatically default to, I have to stop if I have a problem, because sometimes that's not the case. And she didn't. She didn't do that.
Yeah.
Mark 10:27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. This is the story where Jesus had just said it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the Bible says, after Jesus tells that the people were astonished.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why were they astonished? Because at that time, people thought
it's countercultural.
Well, at that time, people thought that rich people were rich because God was blessing them, and that's why they were rich.
And there's still some of that out there.
Not
as much, but
and we look at that today though as churchgoers, and we think, oh, that's ridiculous that people thought that at one time.
Some. Some. There's still that vein out there.
Though. Sure, there are. Yeah. There are. But here's what I think we're all that way. Mm-hmm. Because we still all ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just in a different form and in a different direction. But it's really the same thing. And I think God's trying to make a point that it has nothing to do with our wealth has nothing to do. There's not a connection
right.
between those things. And we talk about Todd Shoemaker. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Todd has been through so much. He just got out of the hospital again. I bet he doesn't know how many times he's been in the hospital. He's mm-hmm. been in the hospital so much. And do you know, with all of this stuff, he's got a form of dementia kind of issue now. Mm-hmm. But through all of these things where they thought he was going to die several times years ago, and he's still there, still praising God. And you know what he calls his journey that he's on? Mm. He calls it his crazy, beautiful health journey. Mm-hmm. And we complain because it's too cold.
I have tennis elbow.
Yeah.
How yeah. ridiculous does that sound now? Thanks, Dean.
You know, I half expect Todd to come out next week and go, okay, I'm fully healed and I can run a marathon, because I feel like his story is the story of Job.
But you know the difference, because I saw that in your notes and I even highlighted it. You made the comment, I half expect for him. You know yeah. what Todd expects? He fully expects.
Yeah, it's true.
And talk about faith, unwavering faith.
Yeah.
He's got it. Man, yep. he's got it. If we can learn anything from Todd, it's that.
Yep. Yeah, he's the guy who was buying running shoes when he couldn't run.
And he just kept buying them.
Just being
year.
Ready
yeah.
for when he could.
That's expectancy. That's hey, before we go down to the next verse, I want to go back up.
Yeah.
Because you ask a question up here, and I want us both to answer this question. You said, which is more difficult, to accept that which cannot change, or to courage to do something about the things that we may find difficult to accomplish? Where do you struggle?
I think I have a hard time accepting things.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't find myself having lacking courage a lot of times. If I feel like it's the right thing to do, or if I feel like God's telling me to do it, I feel like I have the courage to do it.
So I thought me and you were going to be exactly the same here. But I made a note. I said the problem is when I want to do the hard thing and the Lord says, accept it. And what do I often do? I go out and do the hard thing mm-hmm. and I try to say, that's courage.
Yeah.
That's recklessness.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to go back up there because I think that's where a lot of people go, is God saying, just accept that you're not going to be able to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And they go out and do it anyway and something bad happens and they're like, but I had the courage. That's not courage.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's recklessness.
That's a good point. And we hear that all the time.
Yeah.
We hear that.
I've done it many times.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't think that's really what you mean, God.
Bless us. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
So, I don't know why I got off on this thought. We need to learn to lean on God just like we get comfort in leaning on a good friend. And let me explain what I'm talking about. So, think about the last time that you had to do something daunting or almost impossible in your eyes. Maybe like the conversation that you should have had with somebody years ago.
Mm.
And someone says, hey, Dean, I'll go with you. Think about how you felt back then. I think we've all had these situations sure. where it's like, man, I'm just dreading this. We're sick over it. And we'll wait years sometimes to do this thing that God may be telling us to do. When somebody says, I'll go with you, man, your shoulders drop and you just have a sense of peace. But God is that friend.
Yeah.
God is that friend, and we should feel even more relieved than if it was our friend telling us that. But do we truly have the faith to believe this verse?
Wow.
And acknowledging that our faith is imperfect is a great step in the right direction. And this is so, it's so countercultural to be kind of this vulnerable. But think about the Father in Mark 9:24. Jesus had just healed his son from being possessed. He saw it with his own eyes, and Jesus told the Father, anything through God is possible. And what did the dad say? He just saw a miracle happen, and he said, Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. To Jesus, he said this.
Yeah.
To Jesus, face to face, that he just saw heal his son, and he was acknowledging that we think that if we make a statement like that, then that's somehow acknowledging we're not saved.
Yeah.
And fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is nothing wrong with acknowledging that you struggle with that, yeah. That at times you don't believe that. And rather than trying to hide that, well, number one, it's ridiculous to think that you're going to hide that, those thoughts from God.
Yeah.
But I think what Mark 9:24 tells us is we need to say that. Jesus, I just don't believe that right now. Help me in this area. And that is a great first step to God just doing exactly what you're asking.
Yeah.
But so many times, just like when your kids are young and they're about to do something, or they're not telling you something that you already know, they're not telling you, you're gonna let them suffer in that until they come to you. And I think that's what God does with us so many times. He's saying, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. But you got to trust me.
Yeah.
So many times we just don't.
Yeah.
And we need to acknowledge that.
It's a good point. I like that. With faith and strength, he gives lots of grace. God loves me no matter how many times I mess up. That's our first question. It's a statement.
Yeah, I read that about four times thinking, okay, where's the question?
Yeah, yeah.
But I love that.
I do too. Yeah. I like it when somebody's just, you can tell that Elizabeth just wants to share her story. She just wants to shout out, look what God is doing for me.
Yeah.
He took time out to do all these great things for me. She's not tooting her horn saying, I got up and off the mat when things were bad, but she's saying, all these things that have happened that are great things in my life, and even the struggles, God has been there and provided for me all along the way. And she wants to shout it so much that she doesn't even have a question. She just wants to say it.
Yeah.
And she can't help it. Wouldn't it be great if that's kind of the way we were about God all the time? If the way that God has blessed us, if we just can't help but let it out for every person we meet, you know, I mean, I'm sure it would get old to a lot of people, but I think we know people like that. We've seen people like that.
Yeah, sure.
And it's pretty impressive. But I love this. And not only will God always show grace, but he's especially going to show grace when you have the kind of attitude she has. Mm-hmm. And it's good stuff. Another question. What if I didn't find Run for God /Upward Running? I wouldn't have grown closer to God. She asks her question, then she answers it this time. But we've talked about how much our fitness journey can be tied to our faith journey. And this is just another great example of that. I know you feel the same way. We all look at this and we are humbled by the fact that God uses what we do to make such a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah. When I first read the question, I kind of cringed. I was like, ooh, cause I know she's not saying this, but I want to make this clear. Run for God, Upward Running was simply a tool.
That's right.
In her toolbox. I know she's not saying this, but I want to make it clear. Run for God or Upward Running was not the answer.
That's right.
It was simply a tool. We have many tools in our toolbox, and we're humbled that she just happened to pick this tool up on her journey to do what she did, which was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we've had people say, you know, you helped me lose, or I lost 20 pounds or 100 pounds because you, and I'm always like, well, I didn't do anything.
You did it.
You did it.
That's right.
And in this case, God did it.
Yep.
He just happened to pick up the, you know, the 9/16 socket wrench, which had the name Run for God on it, or Upward Running on it.
Yep.
And so I just wanted to make that clear, because when I read that, I was like, ooh, but I know what she's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. This makes me think about, you remember the old television shows where the operator at the big board, and they're plugging in
switchboard
where they're plugging one person into another person. This is kind of what we're just, all we are is we're that cord between that one and this one.
Yeah.
And God is the operator that's plugging things into these places.
Yeah.
And we're just fortunate to be able to be one of those cords. So, yeah. So this is why it's important. If you're listening to this, we thank you, first of all, for listening to the podcast. But we want you to share it, because there's other people out there. She says, what if I didn't find Run for God? Well, she did.
There's somebody out there that needs to hear Elizabeth's story.
But there's a lot of people out there that are looking for hope, and you may have it. And so so help them, connect them, be the connector. You know, do the whole thing, the sharing, the all the things you can do to help us out and spread the word. Remember when we did the Dean's Thoughts on the Run? Mm-hmm. I always finished it with like it, share it, get the word out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last one. God loved us enough. God loved us first enough that he sent his own son. I love God so, so much. This one almost makes me tear up.
Yeah.
Just the purity in it. And, amen.
Yeah. Mic drop.
Do you need something to keep you motivated to keep fit both physically and spiritually? Upward Running has what you need to keep you on track for both. Check out upwardrunning.com and join us for pennies a day. I promise you, you will not regret it.
All right, so last week, you know, we talked about Raven, this guy who has run the same route every day for 50 years, and he's on this 50-year running streak. I've also mentioned, and I did again last week, Richard Westbrook, who is my old high school coach and a really good friend of mine, and he has run every day for 51 years, and Westbrook is fifth on the list of longest streaks. Raven is sixth. Well, the guy with the longest streak just ended it. His name was John Sutherland. His streak was over 55 years, which is the longest streak ever, as far as we know, of all time. He said, I started running on January 1st, 1968, and I started my streak on May 29th, 1969. My last run was December 31st, 2024. I ran 625 miles in 2024. My lifetime mileage is 202,420.
Wow.
I have so much respect for everybody involved with the USRSA, that's the Street Runners Association, and I ran as much as I could. I have seen several doctors about my issue. When I try to get up and run, I'm winded quickly. None of the doctors could tell me what was the cause. I would say, don't you think it's from all the heat and smog I ran to in the San Fernando Valley? They say, yeah, that's it. So crazy. 55 years, this guy's been running every single day since 1969, and he just broke that streak. Sounds like John Sutherland's a pretty good guy. He writes about music. He's met a lot of famous musicians, and so he's got a normal life other than the fact that he goes out there and he runs every single day.
Did it say how old he was?
He's, I know the answer to that. 70, I want to say 78.
Okay.
Is what I'm thinking. That's off the top of my head, though. The guy who's second,
23 when he started.
Yeah, I guess so. The guy who's second is not far behind him. Jim Pearson from Marysville, Washington, is now going to have the longest streak soon, probably. He's about to go over 55 years very soon. He's 80 years old right now. He's a retired cross-country coach. And then the guy who's second right now is the guy who runs the Streak Runners Association, Steve DeBoer. I met him when I went to run with Richard Westbrook for his celebration run when he ran for 50 years. He was there. I bought his book called Traversing the Frozen Tundra. He's from Minnesota. That's why the book. I don't know how many miles he's run, but he's had some big years. I guarantee you he's well over 200,000 miles himself. And third is a guy named Alex Galbraith. He's been for 53 years. He's 74, and he's from Houston, Texas. But then Richard is fourth, and Raven is fifth.
Wow.
And these are the longest streaks in history as far as we know. Now,
and Richard is at what now?
He's at 51 years. He just passed 51 years.
And he's how old?
He is 77, I think. As far as I know, I think Richard has the fifth longest streak in history because Ron Hill, who was an elite runner at one time, but he ran every day for 52-plus years. He is from Great Britain. He's the person who made people start talking about run streaks because he was, because he was famous, people knew him. Which brings me to what I wanted to discuss. Is this okay? Is it okay for people to run every day? Because I was on the Let's Run message board, and there are some people just really, really giving this John Sutherland a hard time. Like, it's not good for you to run every day. It's mentally, you're an attention seeker.
Those people need to get a life.
They do need to. Totally agree.
I mean, I hate to cut you off, but yes, it's okay. Is it textbook for somebody who's never run to just start today running every day? No. But we used to talk about this all the time with the kids. There's so many things we do that physically just don't make a lot of sense. But for every other area of our lives, they make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are on 50 plus year character builders, which is what we used to call them.
Yeah.
And to your point in some of your notes, I don't mean to take your thunder here, but yes, it can become bad.
Yep.
As can anything.
Right.
But this is something that, I mean, doing this, gosh, think about the confidence that these people have gained.
Yeah.
The platform that they've gained, hopefully to do good.
Yeah.
There's so many things that are good that come out of something like this. And then for somebody on a forum, I'm just going to stop right there.
Yeah,
to start throwing rocks and saying this is bad.
Well, and if you think this is bad, I want you to think about this. Okay, some people don't understand why somebody wants to run every day. I get it. And some people think maybe you're an attention seeker. You can think whatever you want to think.
Usually I know better. These guys are hermits.
Yes, usually.
They're opposite attention seekers.
Yep. They just enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
They enjoy the challenge of keeping
that
streak
going. Because there's no way you could do it.
Yes.
If you didn't enjoy it.
That's right.
There's no way.
Yep, that's right. But I look at it like this. There are some grown men who play video games.
Yeah.
I do not understand them. At all. I have no desire to play video games.
Does it make them bad?
No. And I think that if that's what your hobby is, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm great. I'm glad you got a hobby. But I don't understand it. That person probably doesn't understand why I want to go run every day.
Yeah.
So just understand, we're all different. We're all motivated a little bit differently. And is it unhealthy to run every day? To some degree it is.
Perspective.
Yeah.
What's more unhealthy, to sit on the couch every day or to go run every day?
Right.
Sure, there are some things that are unhealthy about running, but the unhealthy things about sitting on the couch far, far outweigh anything that you can point to in a streak runner.
That's true. The bottom line is this. what comes first.
Right.
If the streak comes first above all else, then it's not good. If God comes first, then anything else you do after that is probably, I mean, you know.
You got to put the family in things. There.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't think I'm causing any problems in my life by running every day personally. And so
I would say Debbie would say that if you didn't run every day, your marriage might be worse because of what we just talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You can go out running for a run and your whole perspective changes when you come back.
So. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So give people
congratulations
a break.
To
John Sutherland.
John Sutherland. Never met him, but that is incredible.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it is a time for Dean's Thoughts. That's a time when I share something I've written about the intersection between running and faith. You know, I love to create things. And this is a little bit about how that process happens. It's called The Artist Has a Plan. I have always loved art. I don't mean that I study artists and I know anything about the world of art, but I simply respect the ability of people to create beautiful things. That's why I love woodworking. To me, it's a form of art. Writing is another thing that I classify as art that many people do not consider art. In short, anything that is creative is art to me. I guess I have a very broad definition. I would not consider a person who follows a blueprint to be an artist, though. The framer of a new house may be very talented, but I would not consider him to be an artist. A paint-by-numbers kit is something entirely different than an empty canvas. An artist, to me, is someone who has an idea in her mind and is able to make that idea come to fruition. I admire the ability to think about a concept and bring it to life in whatever form it comes. And in order for that to happen, the artist must have a plan. I suppose it would be possible for an abstract artist to create something without a specific plan, but I bet even they deeply plan what they are going to do before executing that plan. Now, that doesn't mean that planning constitutes artistry either. A physical therapist creates a plan to help you get over your plantar fasciitis, but that doesn't mean he's an artist. No, an artist must have an idea of what they want to create, that being the important factor, and must plan how to create it. I'm in the planning stages of a woodworking project now. Before I get started, I must decide what kind of wood I will use and the dimensions and design of the project. I must also make sure I have the right saws, glue, clamps, fasteners, and hardware I plan to use. I have a picture in my mind of what I think it will look like when I complete the project, but I haven't even started the building yet. I have spent hours on the project without using my hands, which brings me to my point. No matter what we do, whether it is art or cutting your grass, you must have a plan in place before you start. It would be an odd feeling if I went out to cut my grass and realized I don't have a lawnmower or gasoline to run it or the time to complete it. But we often treat running or any other form of exercise completely different. We expect to just go to the trail, start running, and everything will fall in place magically. You can do it that way, but it will not be as effective as you envision. Now, I have not received the hardware that I will be using for my woodworking project yet. Depending on its design, I may have to modify my original plan in some way. When I go out to cut the grass, I haven't planned every turn or maneuver. While it is a repetitive task, there are a number of changes from one cutting to the next. The same thing applies to our running or any other form of exercise. We need to plan what we are going to do and how we are going to do it, but we need to leave room for improvisation. When an artist sets out to paint a vision from his head, the final canvas may look exactly like the picture in his mind, or it could be substantially different. For example, I remember having the idea to paint something on canvas years ago. I had an idea of what I wanted, but as I painted what was in my head, I inadvertently left more room on one side of my main subject than the other. So I added an entirely different element that I had not planned at all. It turned out great, even with the improvisational element. That is what our exercise plans need to look like. You may sit down and plan to run the Peachtree Road Race on July 4th with a goal of finishing in less than an hour. You may plan out all the workouts, the nutritional elements, the supplemental cross-training things, and all the gear and equipment you need that will get you to that vision you have in your mind. But there are many things that can happen to take you away from that picture. Does it mean you cannot create the same picture? No. It just means you must either find a new way to get there or you must modify the picture. My mother was cremated, and I have her remains at my house. My woodworking project is that I'm going to build two urns so that my brother and I can each keep them at our respective houses. I have an idea on what the finished item is going to look like. The finished product may be exactly what I have pictured in my mind, or it may need to change based on what comes along in the process. In the end, if I am successful, I will have two urns. Decide that you're going to run that 10K in an hour. Put all the things in place to ensure that you're successful, but then be open to the idea that it could change along the way. And don't be relegated to the idea that anything other than your goal is bad. You may, for example, decide along the way that you can run the 10K in 55 minutes, or it may be the case that just crossing the finish line is all you can do. Either way, you are successful. Just because it didn't turn out like the picture in your mind doesn't mean you failed. Just be sure you make the plan, you make a plan and work towards it daily. God tells us specifically in Jeremiah that he has a plan for our lives. Most of us have a vision for what we want our lives to look for, what we want our lives to look like, whether it's a goal to achieve a milestone, strengthening our marriage, or letting God use us to bring people to the foot of the cross. The chances are that our plan looks different than God's plan. It may be slightly different, or it may be radically different, but our goal should always be to let Him mold us as closely to His plan as possible. We can do that when we, according to Jeremiah, call on God and seek Him with all our heart. Only then can He make our actual lives look like the picture He has in His mind for us. Planning is important, but so is adapting the plan as you go. Your running goals do not cease to be goals just because something pushes you a little off course. In that case, don't give up. Keep that picture in your mind and keep working towards it. And let God have His way with you so that you can fulfill all His plans for your life.
It's a great story, Dean.
I started thinking about how God has these plans for our lives, and then we mess them up. You know, like God has a plan for my life, and that plan includes me meeting somebody at a place, location. But instead, Dean decides I need to get in a few extra miles. So I get in a few extra miles. I don't show up at the place where I'm supposed to meet this guy, and I don't meet the guy. Well, then God has to change the plan for my life because I've messed it up. And we do that all the time. I mean, that's daily, right? Probably that we mess up God's plan. But He has to modify His plan for our life because we get in the way. I don't know. I thought about that. I thought that was a weird way to look at it, but...
Yeah.
I really like to be creative. You know, recently I came over here last week because I texted your son Landon and I know he works. He's a great woodworker, creates some beautiful pieces. And so I thought, you know, I wonder if he's got any, what do you call them? Exotic woods that he, you know, because I don't usually if I make something, I might make it out of oak or something, but it's
old
typically
two before
pine.
And yeah, that's me.
Yeah. But, you know, he uses some nice woods. So I thought, well, I wonder if he's got any scrap, you know, stuff that he's going to throw out that I could use because what I'm making is really small. Sure enough, Landon comes through and has some walnut that I'm going to use to make these things. And I think it's fun to be creative. It's fun to watch other people be creative too. Landon, the stuff Landon does.
It's pretty creative.
It's pretty creative and pretty cool.
Yeah. I like to take credit for that, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you had a lot of molding.
My dad did.
Yeah.
My dad really, he saw that Landon liked that early on and
did he?
Really worked. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was kind of cool to get to see Dad do that before he passed, that he really took Landon on and kind of implanted that in him. Or not implanted it in him, but fostered it.
I mean, it's kind of who Landon is now. I mean, you know, I mean, that's just part
Landon's
of him.
Very creative.
Yeah.
Very creative. Yeah. He downplays it a lot, which is good and bad in some ways. But I did take one exception. We talked about this before the start. I do take an exception with, I think you're looking at the framer wrong. I do put a framer.
Says the framer.
A good framer as an artist, even though they have a blueprint, because you can not know how to bring that blueprint to life. You can bring that blueprint to life very badly, or you can bring that blueprint to life as an artist. Because there is an art, no question about framing. Because it's no different than, you know, if you got a painter and they're have their easel set up at the ocean and they're looking at a sunset and they're painting that sunset. I can go look at that same sunset and start painting and you're going to be like, I don't even know what this is, Mitchell. Where'd you? But an artist, they're going to make that canvas, that blueprint, God's canvas out there that they're looking, they're going to make it, bring it to life. So I think you can have a blueprint. You just stepped on my toes because you just had to bring framers into it.
I don't know why that came to my mind, but God wanted us to have this conversation.
But I digress. The story is awesome, and you're right. It's everything in here is spot on.
And this goes so well with the story for the week. I wrote this before realizing what story we were going to use for this week.
Yeah, but I'm sure it was a coincidence.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We say that all the time because this is so true. So how many times, I would like to count how many times the story and the Dean's thoughts lined up perfectly. And people think, oh, they put those two together. You don't do that.
Nope.
You don't do that.
Nope. So. All of the Dean's thought stuff that I run, for the most part, almost everything I write, you know, came out of my head in the last week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I sat down and said, okay, I got this. I see this story and I'm going to try to match. It's just stuff that comes
out.
Yeah,
you just need to back off on the framers. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think that a lot of times we see people, they get an injury. I got a friend of mine right now who has an Achilles injury. And things are on hold right now because he just can't do what he needs to do with that Achilles. And he's got some goals, got some very specific goals for this year, but he can't do those things because he's got to get this thing well before he starts going after those goals. So many times people just give up.
Yeah.
They get an injury and they just give up completely they're done. And we can't do that. We just have to, modify the plan. And sometimes the way we have to modify it is not the way we want to modify it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he doesn't want to have an Achilles problem right now, but it's just part of the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, you can look back and go, yeah, we had all these problems, but we got around them and there's value in that. So don't give up too quickly. Think back to what drove you to whatever that goal was to start with.
Which should be written on a piece of paper on your bathroom mirror.
That's right. That's right. And whatever that goal was that drove you to start with, you know, for Elizabeth in the Couch to Marathon plan, she signed up for a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
She's determined to get to that marathon finish line. Now, is she going to do it or not? I don't know. But I do know this, she has been relentlessly keeping that on her mind the whole time and going after that goal the whole time. And that's what all we have to do is keep reminding ourselves of why we started that thing to begin with. And it should lead to better decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. You always, I say jokingly, but not that your why for whatever you started your fitness journey or whatever journey it is you're on, write it on a piece of paper. And put it on your bathroom mirror because that is the best way to reach your goal and to deal with whatever side roads or injuries or what is to have that in front of you all day, every day. You know, I think back to the very first Run for God class when I heard things like, I want to be around for my grandkids.
Hmm.
That statement alone on your bathroom mirror, that's going to motivate you every single morning. But what happens is we forget what we said and all the thoughts of this is just too hard or I don't have time for this. Those become bigger than that reason, not because they actually are, but you're not looking at that reason every day and you're listening to all these other things every day. If you start every morning with that reason, then that kind of makes those voices that you're going to hear, it kind of quietens them down. Not that you're going to make them go away, but it's always the loudest thing that gets the most attention, right? And if something's on your bathroom mirror every morning you're seeing it, that's pretty loud.
That's it.
It's obnoxiously loud, which write it bigger if you need it to be even more obnoxious, write it bigger on your mirror. Do whatever it takes. Keep that in front of you.
Make your goal be the squeaky wheel.
Exactly.
Have you always wanted to read through the entire Bible but never found the time to do it? Well, let me do it for you. Sign up for the self-paced Bible in a Year challenge and start listening today. Every day, I read a few chapters from the Bible and give you helpful tips and encouraging quotes. You must be an Upward Running member for access to this exciting challenge. So if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, what are you waiting for?
Every week, I share a reason why running and or walking are so awesome. And this week, it's a year-round sport. You know, there's no off-season for running and or walking. You know, we just go from one season to the next. You know, right now it's indoor track season. Mm-hmm. And that's going to give way to outdoor track season. Mm-hmm. In between, there's going to be a marathon, a spring marathon season. That's going to carry us to the fall where there's a fall marathon season. And then we're going to have back to indoor. I mean, it's a never-ending cycle for competitive people. But for all of us, it's a year-round thing. There's no reason we have to stop doing it. Mm-hmm. If it's too cold or there's a problem outside, we got treadmills we can run on. That's one of the great things about running.
And the roads are never closed.
That's right.
Or the trails or, you know, there's most sports, there are reasons throughout the year you can't do them. You know, if the tennis court is closed, you can't go play tennis.
Yep.
But you can get a run. And that's why we used to talk about the kids, and they'd come back from vacation. And I'm like, did you get your runs in last week? No, I was on vacation. So what does that mean? They didn't have roads there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they used to hate saying it. But it's true.
But it's true.
It somewhere to run is open 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, all year long.
That's right. Well, I got this from Canadian Running. By the way, I think Canadian Running, the magazine, is better than Runner's World. God, that's probably blasphemous to say, probably, but...
Is the same people on them?
I don't know. Maybe, probably. These days, it's kind of the way things work, but... This says, 50 runners take on world's coldest marathon in Siberia. In minus 50 degrees C, which is minus 58 Fahrenheit temperatures, runners at Sunday's Pole of Cold event were so caked in ice they were unrecognizable.
That's cold.
That's cold. Runners at Sunday's Pole of Cold marathon in Siberia, one of the world's coldest races, crossed the finish line with their hair and eyelashes encrusted with snow and ice. Yakutia, Russia, known as the Cold Pole, saw 50 bundled up participants conquer distances from 5K to 50K. Leonid Zykov of Russia won the marathon. He's a 34-year-old who has a personal best of 2 hours and 40 minutes. He says, after about 23 kilometers, it became really tough for me. He said, my liver started hurting. So I'm running as best I can. At this time of the year, the frigid temperatures are all too familiar. The area's all-time lowest temperature on record is minus 67.7 degrees C, which is minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit back in 1933. So this is one of the coldest places on Earth. If you're looking to participate in next year's race, it isn't as easy as signing up. Each runner must undergo medical testing before being cleared to race and is accompanied by medical personnel throughout the distance. Participants also drink hot beverages instead of cold ones during the race. It's great, one runner, Alexei Belov, told the media. Very calming. The nature is beautiful. Despite reaching these unfathomably chilly temperatures this year, the conditions weren't the coldest in the race's history. The coldest was minus 53 degrees in 2022, which was the world record for the coldest marathon. Pictured below is last year's winner. And I'll put this up. If you watch the video, I'll put this in the video.
What was the time? Did it say?
It didn't say. But
I guess it's kind of irrelevant. I
mean, yeah.
The fact that you finish is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Would you do this?
Yeah.
I would totally do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a matter of jumping in the car and driving for 6 hours to get to it, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Heartbeat.
Yeah. Especially nowadays, you know, they have, I was at church last week and an older guy that's a friend of mine, he was wearing like a jacket and I saw a little light on at the bottom. I said, "What's that light?" He said, it's battery powered.
Yeah.
The jacket's heated.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of takes weather out of the equation.
Yeah.
You know, if you have battery powered clothing that keeps you warm, that'd be pretty awesome.
This happened to me recently. I was running and was it while it was snowing or it might have been while it was snowing. And when I got through, I just had ice hanging all in my beard, mustache. And it
I think
was just,
he took a picture of that, didn't he?
Caked up.
I saw a picture.
I did a video.
Yeah.
With and I was only halfway through at that point.
Oh, really?
So it got twice as bad by the time I got done. Anyway.
Did you see my shin splint video? Did you see that?
No.
On the other day? You know, I'm doing this little shin splint series for Claire. And I did the one Friday morning. I mean, it was snowing as hard as it was snowing for the whole time. I did that video out there and it was pretty... I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well, there were only 50 runners in this thing. I guess it's not that easy to get to. So, Our trivia question for this week: what does the term "running economy" mean? It's a good term, an important term, I think. And an interesting one for us to talk about next week. So what does the term "running economy" mean? If you know the answer to that and you're the first one to answer that, you can send that to dean@upward.org. And if you're the first member to answer that question correctly, you will win $20 off in the Run for God store. Our motivational thought of the week is from Wayne Gretzky, the hockey player. He said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take."
I love that quote.
I do too. I thought it came from Michael Jordan originally. That was the first person I ever heard that said it, but I don't know. I see it attributed to Wayne Gretzky more often than Michael Jordan. But anyway, it's true. You can't hit a shot you don't take.
So and if
you
don't, we're scared to take shots.
And we're scared to take shots. Yeah. And you know, the world's full of those people.
Sure.
We see it in running. We see people who are scared to go to the starting line. Mm-hmm. And they're so caught up in their emotions at the starting line that they don't run well because they're in way better shape than what their results show because they're just so tied up about it.
We're afraid of failure.
Afraid of failure. So don't be afraid of failure. Take the shot. Do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And however it lands, it lands. If it goes through, it goes through.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, you know what? There's a lot of people who have taken shots that didn't go in. Mm-hmm. And so that's okay. All right. Well, we're off to a good start in 2025. It's going to be a great year. This app's going to be out tomorrow. It's already out.
And I hope it's out when this releases.
Yep. So make sure you rate, share the podcast, get other people to know and listen to us. We want more people sharing the gospel in the running community.
Sure.
That's our goal. So be a part of that. And until next time, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.